Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
3-2 on Aaron Judge. He got him. Another strikeout.
It's number 85 coming here from Andrew Heaney.
How about this guy? 9 strikeouts. And this, by the way, is the third time through the order. And he's got himself another 10 strikeout game. 21 career double-digit strikeout games for Andrew Heaney. Quite a home debut for the veteran lefty. I always feel like somebody's
watching me. This is Ramey and Harris on 670 The Scores. We broadcast live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And this is another edition of our segment we call Stalking, where we take a look at possible candidates for the Cubs or perhaps the White Sox to trade at the trade deadline. And our stalking segment has found a man who I am curious about when it comes to his availability and what the price would be. It is the 34-year-old lefty Andrew Heaney of the Pittsburgh Pirates.
And so I asked this, Layla, because when you talk about acquiring a guy like Andrew Heaney, he's in his mid-30s. He's got limited World Series experience, although I guess limited World Series experience is still World Series experience, having won it with the Texas Rangers just a couple of years ago, and understanding that he pitches for the Pirates. So 4-8, 4.59 ERA, 1.255 whip. What role would he have on the Cubs? What would his role be?
Andrew Heaney is somebody you can trade for who theoretically is a starter, although we should talk about, well, he is a starter, but we should talk about the innings that he has had recently. His last two outings. On the 7th of July, he only went 3 innings against the Royals. He gave up 4 earned runs, gave up 6 hits. And then on the 12th against the Minnesota Twins, he only went 2 innings, gave up 3 hits, 3 earned runs in that outing. Only got 2 strikeouts out of his 2 starts so far this month. That was against Kansas City, those 2. So does that concern you a bit? Sure. Sure it does.
Well, I think the biggest thing is that last outing, that was a clear, you know, this is right before the All-Star break. He came in relief.
Yeah.
In the 6th inning. He did give up 3 home runs in those 2 innings.
And so you're worried about the stats.
You look back just over the last, you know, 5 games or so, his ERA was in the 3s until 4 games ago. And the numbers that he's put up since then have been awful, really. His last 5 appearances, in 2 of those starts, he gave up 7 runs in each of them. He's only gotten into the 5th inning once in his last 5 appearances.
But when you consider the, I don't know if I'd necessarily call it buy the dip idea that Jed Hoyer talked about when he was on the Northside Territory podcast last week with Patrick Mooney and Sahadev Sharma, you do wonder if that falls into this category. So, for example, in the month of June, on the 6-1 against the Padres, the first of the month, he goes 5 2/3. Against the Phillies, he goes 6 large. That's what got me really thinking about the concept of him going elsewhere. 6 innings against the Phillies on Saturday the 7th in a 2-1 win. Gives up only a single earned run, 4 hits, no walks, 5 strikeouts. Andrew Heaney is also a ground ball pitcher, so I like that because he ranks up there in the top 50 in Major League Baseball and starting pitchers who induce ground ball outs. And I think to myself, with all this weather, we always talk about at Wrigley and how hot it is and the ball flying out all the time. Would he be somebody who could help your team keep the ball down? And even though it's not as in style as it used to be, the swing and miss stuff, I know you love, is sexy. I love it too. But diversify the starting rotation a little bit. A guy who, for the most part this season, has been able to eat innings, although when you consider how the numbers have gone month to month, that's something you at least worry about. But he could still be a benefit from the standpoint of keep your ball down. If it's a hot and windy day, maybe he's your starter at Wrigley for one of those. And then that gives your offense a better chance to give him some run support and help pick up a W, as opposed to, say, somebody who throws a lot of high stuff. And then it gets sent out of the ballpark if you don't exactly hit your spot.
I know I talk a lot about the swing and miss stuff, and it's not the end-all be-all. Because you're right, he is a ground ball pitcher first and foremost. But if you look at his K percentage and what it's done over the last four seasons, it was at a high back in 2022 when he hit 35.5% K percentage. Then in 2023, when the Rangers did what they did, 23.6%. 22.9% last year, and now down to 17.7%, which is a career low. I'm out on Andrew Heaney. I just want to be very clear. I'm out on Andrew Heaney. I think there's much better options. If you're just looking for a guy to be your fifth starter, there are better options. There might be better options within the Cubs organization than Andrew Heaney. I just don't believe in him.
After what Jordan Hicks showed, or Wick showed us the last time, it's at least worth looking at the numbers and seeing for yourself whether or not you would want to do the deal of some sort. There's a couple of things that I think work in the favor of somebody who might be buying on Heaney. Like, for example, you're only talking about a one-year contract in this age 34 season. It's very much a rental. It's a $5.25 million contract, which he's taken up the majority of it so far. I don't know what the playoff incentives are, what that would do to your year-end salary and how that works if you're looking at a CBT issue there, the threshold. But either way, rental, what would you really give up for him? But again, the Pirates are one of the few teams you know that are obvious sellers. Of course, I alluded to this earlier. Every time I look at somebody, what other team is interested in him?
Mm.
Well, if it isn't the Dodgers. And I don't know if this is just something where you can just, if you're looking for a story to write that day, it's just one that falls in your lap and you can connect the Dodgers to everybody. But the Dodgers also have pitching needs. And the element here is also that Heaney played for the Dodgers in the past, and he's also played for the Yankees. He played for the Dodgers in 2022, and at that time, he posted a 3.10 ERA, struck out 110 batters in 72 and two-thirds innings. So they have success with him previously. At the age of 34, you know, I wonder how much of that was his age at the time and who he is now. But I could see them being interested, especially when the price for him, as they know it, is relatively cheap.
The familiarity probably helps, right? And they know they're going to the postseason. He has a track record in the postseason. He started game 6 against the Arizona Diamondbacks and got the win in that game back in October of
2023.
Sorry. And then in that game, he went 5 innings, his best playoff outing, gave up 4 hits, 1 earned run, walked 2, struck out 3. It was a great performance in a game which two very capable offenses, for him to be able to shut someone down over the course of 5 innings is not something to be taken lightly. I just don't know if he's going to be that guy for the Cubs. And I think if you're the Cubs, you've got to go for guys that you truly believe are going to be the goods. Because otherwise, you're just adding guys to add guys.
Well, I think in this case, it wouldn't be if they wanted to do the deal based on, A, what they give up. That's the biggest thing for me when it comes to this individual pitcher, because of all the things we just said. He had more innings per outing in his first 2 months of the season. You can look at the numbers for yourself. As an age 34 pitcher, that does concern me. As a ground ball pitcher, that concerns me, because a lot of times the pitches that you would throw to outs, if you hit your spot, might instead go 5.5 hole, for example. But I know Heaney is a target, and it's not just the Dodgers. It's not just possibly the Cubs. It's also the Giants. Giants fans have wondered if he's a possibility there. Somebody who can just get you from point A to B. Are you necessarily leaning on him in the playoffs? He might not be on a wild card roster, you know, just depending on how you want to use your pitchers. But can he help get you there? Can he help you when it comes to these hot games at Wrigley that I mentioned? Because he does keep the ball down. It's something that I'm willing to at least examine.
We're talking about Andrew Heaney, pitcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates, who has posted an impressive 4-8 record, because anything you do for the Pirates is impressive, because look at Paul Skene's record. Here on Raheem and Harris, as we continue our stalking segment, Let's listen in on what other people have to say about Andrew Heaney. Here's Don Kelly, the interim manager for the Pittsburgh Pirates, talking about Andrew Heaney's start against the Cardinals on June 30th, in which he went 6 2/3, gave up no runs on 3 hits, walked 1, and struck out 7.
Yeah, he did. His command was really good. Fastball command was really good, opened up everything else. I mean, what a start by him. You know, we needed it. Bullpen has been taxed, and for him to go that deep into the game and, I mean, shoot, carry the no-hitter all the way, what was it, 6th inning? Phenomenal start.
I say all that to say, over his last 19 2/3 innings, he's given up 21 earned runs and 7 home runs. Whew. That's rough. So do you trust what he's done overall? Do you trust the beginning of a season, which was stellar? Or do you trust what have you seen out of him his last 5 times out?
Right, and whether or not at his age, as we mentioned, 34, if you feel like that is a more of an indication of, say, fatigue, is that age, is that something where it would last into August, September, and hopefully, if you're trading for him, October. Like, that's a big part of it. But you don't necessarily need him, you know, like I said, in October. Maybe you're just looking at him to help get you into the playoffs. And if that's the case, I wonder what the price would be. Though we know it's going to be a seller's market when it comes to how many buyers there are. You know, a reported 25 teams still thinking they are buyers at this All-Star break.
And what you can't do if you're Jed Hoyer or anybody else is get involved in the scarcity market. And that's where you're overpaying for stuff that doesn't really help you as much as what you need help with.
We've talked a lot about this story when it came out. We talked to Jim Bowden of The Athletic when we discussed trade candidates and who might be on the list. And I feel like the same can be said for Major League Baseball's writers as well. Mark Feinsand, the noted MLB writer, also had a lot to say when it came to asking executives and figuring out who might be on and up for a trade. And Andrew Heaney was mentioned then. This was a couple weeks ago. And the excerpt says, "No, this isn't the Pittsburgh starting pitcher whose potential availability has generated so much buzz. Paul Skeens isn't going anywhere anytime soon." We got that out of our system, right? We all got that out of our systems with the meatball machine on Friday. Mitch Keller could be in play, as we've mentioned, though he signed through 2028. So Heaney, who is pitching on that one year, $5.25 million deal, could be a better option. Heaney is 3-5. This is, again, a couple weeks ago. Despite a 3.33 ERA and 14 starts, and the 34-year-old has pitched in the postseason in 2 of the past 3 seasons. And at the time, he said the potential fits were the Astros, Dodgers, and the Cubs. So, again, something that I feel like is being focused on. The Giants, now a part of that mix recently as well, as I mentioned. That happened in the last couple of days where that report popped up.
I'm looking at what's going on the text line. Everybody's got an opinion, of course. It's interesting because we're talking about a guy that relatively would not cost that much in terms of prospects to get. You wouldn't think. Because if it gets to a certain point, you'll be like, okay, we're not paying that for Andrew Heaney. But this, from 219, this might be a little bit off topic for what you're talking about right now, but I feel like Owen Casey should not be in consideration for trade talks, good as everyone says he is or is going to be. Try him out at the major league level as that bat you need. Avoid giving up prospects or components of a winning team to get something you already have. Forgive me if some of that is misspelled. I'm texting to talk while I drive and listen. We appreciate the text. And I'll say this, Owen Casey won't be on the table for Andrew Heaney. I can tell you that.
Yeah, that's it. And I know we did the segment last week. It was during our pick or our 5 on it. What would it take to get you to part ways with Owen Casey? And I remain steadfast. You want control at least for another year. Like, you, ideally multiple years. It's a package, of course. It wouldn't just be him. It traditionally isn't a one-for-one in those types of cases. But there would have to be a package involved that would make you want to part with your top prospect. And I know the World Series isn't cheap, and you're going to have to make some deals where you really hope a guy comes up with your system, but instead you have to deal him away. It's just a matter of what it's for. That's not it here. But do I feel better about the Cubs playoff run if a guy like Andrew Heaney or somebody like him a back of the end rotation guy who can eat innings is part of it, yeah, then I feel better about the Brewers breathing down your neck, you know, within two or one game of first place in the standings.
A reminder, the Brewers are just one game back as it sits at the All-Star break here on Raheem and Harris. We're talking about stalking, as we have been doing leading up to the July 31st trade deadline. Today's subject, Pittsburgh Pirates starter Andrew Heaney. He's a lefty. He induces ground balls. He has not had the greatest month of July. He's given up 14 runs in his last two starts, or excuse me, not in his last two starts, but in the two of his last five starts. Yeah. And so it's been a rough go of him of late, but still, because that contract is so affordable at just over $5 million, and this would be a clear rental with his contract up at the end of this year, he's very appealing for a lot of teams just needing a guy. So the question becomes, how much of just a guy do you need? Because my whole thing is get someone who is elite. Although, and I said this the other day, my view is evolving that perhaps Shota Imanaga, Matthew Boyd, that could be a potential 1-2 combo in the playoffs if that's what you're left with.
So The Athletic is doing something called the Urgency Index at the trade deadline.
Okay.
In the department of starting pitcher, where do you think the Cubs rank among teams in the urgency index of need?
In terms of playoff contenders, I'm going to say they're number four on that list. They're in the top five.
They're number one.
Number one?
According to The Athletic.
Oh, that's not good.
And the entrance says this: getting Shota Imanaga back was a good first step. It's not enough. We know that. Over the last month, the Cubs' rotation has been near the bottom of the league in ERA, as well as the bottom third in wins above replacement and strikeout rate. That doesn't really play to this when we're talking about Andrew Heaney. You can't build a rotation on two starters, and only two starters have kept their ERA under five in the last month. Projections are no kinder. FanGraphs depth charts have them at 24th overall. And if you single out the top three starters, they are only slightly more palatable at 18th. They need an arm, but they also need an arm to be a playoff starter. I tend to agree. I don't see that out of Andrew Heaney.
And so that's what I was going to say, is like everything you just read from that urgency report, having the Cubs at number one, specifically the start, the part about having an ERA under five this month, Andrew Heaney clearly does not fit the bill for that, because if you look at his splits in the month of July, it's been bad for Andrew Heaney. He has an ERA of 12.60 in the month of July. And then if you just go over his last, let's say, 14 or 28, what do you want to do? Last 14 days or last 28 days? What would you like to have?
14.
Over his last 14 days, that's the 12.60, because it is July 15th, so that, or 16th, so that actually makes sense. Over his last 28 days, as we expand that out, the ERA dips to 9.61. 1-3 also over the top.
Yeah, he's an arm to help, in my opinion, he's an arm to help get you to the playoffs.
And that they need more than that if they're going to make a run in the playoffs.
Well, the better question is also, do they have enough prospect-wise that they are willing to part with?
Outside of Owen Casey, because you just made it clear he should be going nowhere in a deal to get back of the rotation help.
Owen Casey should go somewhere if it's a big, spendy, everybody's good with it, Kyle Tucker level type of thing. I'm just saying. That
Kyle
concludes
Tucker level. Okay.
I mean, starting pitching though, if you're talking about like a big name starter,
a bona fide.
Yeah, exactly. So this is Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score. We have more coming up, but first we also want to tell you about what's going on Friday. You chime in with all of us. You can also do it in person. Tune in on Friday from 10 a.m. to 12:45. Rami Makhlouf and I will be broadcasting live from Gallagher Way, leading up to what should be a great series, Cubs and Red Sox at Wrigley. It is all brought to you by IDOT. The Illinois Department of Transportation will be on hand with activities to show you how you can be safe driving home from the game. Visit itsnotagameillinois.com to learn more. Coming up next, we want to talk some Bears. Did we get the audio in that we had mentioned in our pre-show meeting? We did. All right, so Colston Loveland, we have an update on where he thinks he is regarding his shoulder. Let's discuss next.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
It's a matter of meeting, watching the tape, walking through, particularly a guy like Colston right now that, you know, a little dinged up still, and so we're rehabbing him, and then that's a priority for us, is getting him back healthy, because the sooner he gets healthy, then we get the full speed reps, and that's where it really all comes together, getting him up to speed with not only what the veterans know mentally, but how much can we walk through with him on the side to speed up the learning process.
That is Ben Johnson talking about Bears' 10th overall pick, Colston Loveland, and he was in the news yesterday. He and several families from the Lurie Children's Hospital went to Great Wolf Lodge to have a fundraising challenge inside of their water park. So basically, they got to play in the pool, which is a really cool event. During that event, kids from Lurie Children's tossed footballs to Colston. They got to float on the Lazy River. They also were able to raise some money. For every successful catch, Great Wolf Lodge donated $250 to Lurie Children's Hospital. It ended up being $7,500 to help support their pediatric care ward. So a cool event, and something that I think is really nice to see is he just got here, and here he is already trying to raise some money for a good cause.
Already doing big things in the community. Let's see if he could do big things on the field.
And now that is a segue.
Well, I just would like to see him on the field.
That part, right? And even in the video, you could see the marks from, you know, the cupping that a lot of athletes do to help relieve pain and things like that. You could see that on his shoulder. And we know that his shoulder is a situation that, like, continues to develop, unfortunately. Kept him out of the off-season activities. And we're trying to figure out what that will mean for him come training camp. Well, he gave everybody an update.
How are you feeling right now, less than a week from rookies reporting to training camp?
Yeah, it feels good. Really good. Yeah, best it's felt, for sure.
What's the difference in how it's felt even since the last time we talked to you in June? Do you feel like it's made a lot of progress
in
the last
strength, month? Yeah, strength's there. You know, the scar tissue barely there anymore. So it's just, everything's increasing, which is good.
Is the plan to be ready to go for the start of training camp?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Okay,
yes,
full sir. Go, like, no restrictions?
That's
or not
the
sure
plan.
That's the plan?
Yep. Amazing. TBD, but that's the plan.
TBD.
That was Josh Friedman asking him questions. Josh with WGN, as we know. GN Sports Night, a show that they do every night at 10:30. I appreciate Josh clarifying at the end whether or not that meant you're ready, like, today,
full
tomorrow?
Go.
Right. And then we got TBD.
That means I feel good, but I'm not really going to know until we go through some tests. Some physical tests. Like, he could go out there and, like, how does it feel when you get hit? And then it's like the next day, you would think it's going to be some type of ramp up.
Has to be. Has to, given all the time he's missed.
He's too valuable. He's a first round pick. He's too valuable not to make sure that you don't have any setbacks.
When the new head coach, whose offense was incredibly successful with Sam Laporta and others that we've mentioned all the show earlier today, like Jahmyr Gibbs, and he says that Colston Loveland reminds him of Sam Laporta, I would think that means the value is high in the expectation. They're not going to run him out there without making sure he's healthy.
I just love the idea that we're close enough to training camp that it's gone from, well, we hope he's ready by training camp, to now getting a somewhat definitive answer about how he feels about training camp starting.
Okay, I also want to point this out from 773. This is Midway Jimbo. And this was brought up earlier on our Twitch chat a few weeks ago. And I misunderstood, and I would like to clarify, because I see it now. And by see it, I mean hear it. He says, am I the only one who cringes at Ben Johnson audio due to him being a voice twin of Matt Nagy? I don't cringe, but I thought initially it was in the way that they talked about things. Like, I thought the first person on the text line or on the Twitch chat to say that was in how they talk about offense. And I'm like, is this it? Or are you just used to infinity defensive head coaches? And then I realized, no, They both have a similar drawl. Matt Nagy's is the Pennsylvania drawl, and Ben Johnson's is the North Carolina drawl. So, Midway Jimbo, and also the person on the Twitch mob who said it like a couple weeks ago, you guys had a point.
I don't know that I hear that.
I hear it.
But maybe I'll hear it now that it's been pointed out to me.
You'll hear it a little bit. So, for those of you who have listened to that, you're not off the mark. I just want to address that while we're talking about all of this. As far as Colston Loveland is concerned, it's really hard to talk about somebody if you don't know they're healthy. And you need them to also be a massive part of the offense. It's one thing to even talk about it with Karan Amagaji when we're trying to figure out, like, into late August whether or not he's going to take up a roster spot if he goes on injured reserve. But in this case, we're going to have to find out some answers about him soon. This is at least one step forward to letting you know it might be coming up.
Are you more concerned about the Colston Loveland situation or about the second round situation? And when I say that, I mean the second rounders who are unsigned as of now, and the Bears have three of them
right,
as rookies get ready to report this weekend.
And that was Monday when we said it was a reported 30 at the time.
Yeah, I don't think anybody else is signed.
Right. 30 second rounders remain unsigned.
And the Bears have three of them. So what's more concerning at days away from rookies reporting? Is it the rookie, Colston Loveland, not knowing what that is going to be as far as his ramp-up availability or whether or not the second rounders are even going to be in the building?
Well, given that even Brian Urlacher, who was on with us earlier, pointed out the importance of the offensive line to Caleb Williams' success, and that we know Braxton Jones is hurt, and he's not coming in anytime soon with the broken ankle.
Yeah, we don't know where he is in his rehab ramp-up process, but the understanding is he will not be available at the start of camp.
So we know that. It's a huge concern if you think that Ozzie Trapillo, who many are thinking is the likely heir to backup over Karan Amagaji, would be unsigned. This is left tackle?
So, yes. Does Karan Amagaji, does he scare you just based on what limited Karan Amagaji you saw in game time action, which was just they dropped him. You know, you're supposed to put people as coaches in a position to succeed. They did not do that.
I also feel like it was a situation where they thought, okay, big guy, you've earned this. Like, you've earned this opportunity. Is it ideal? No, but I know what I saw. I know it was a horrible situation for him, but I think the impetus was maybe of that nature. Regardless, what we saw was it's going to be something hard to come back from in that way when it comes to that defining your tape last season. He starts against the Vikings in one of the most dangerous road situations for any team at left tackle on Monday Night Football, and it just added to what we had already seen at that point, the Bears' offensive line being disappointing and putting Caleb Williams in harm's way, and the results are what we saw.
Especially for a guy who played FCS football at the college level, so not used to being in super loud, super ridiculous environments. As we talk about Colston Loveland and his impending return, the second rounders situation is three of them remain unsigned here on Raheemy and Harris. Bears talk is about to take over, man. We're going to be in the thick of things next week.
We are. And as we try to figure out whether or not Colston Loveland from a health standpoint will be good to go, it's good to also hear what Ryan Poles had to say about how Colston Loveland is going to help Caleb Williams in the offense.
I think if you look historically, the impact tight ends have had on young quarterbacks is pretty big. So now he's got two of them, plus the other guys that we have on the outside and in the backfield. So I think it's going to be really important. And like I said, when you talk about 12 personnel, you got to match that with usually bigger guys. It creates more space in the passing game. So I think there is a multiplier effect that he has on the whole group.
If only he was out there. That's the issue with this, is how much can we talk about him until he's out there? But hopefully when he says he's 100% ready to go, that means that he is. But you're right, Marshall. We don't know much until he actually feels some sort of contact.
I like his optimism. I like what he told Josh in terms of he feels good as he has felt since coming back. with the shoulder. And look, even if it is a bit delayed, I don't think that's a big deal. Now, if there's a setback, I think that's a completely different conversation.
Well, it's a big deal once we start talking about him during the season. And it's like, well, remember, he wasn't available for off-season activities and he's behind. And we might do that with him. We might do that with Luther Burden.
Yeah, Luther Burden
is a Bear.
There's another one.
Because he's a second-round pick.
He was dealing with a soft tissue injury, Luther Burden the third. And as of now, he can't come to Rookies Report anyway because he hasn't signed. So that, to me, the second-rounders is a much bigger deal than the Colston Loveland, because at least I could say Colston tells us he feels good heading into this weekend.
And I don't think you'd be out there even doing what he was doing, which was, you know, tossing the ball around and whatever else, if he were in a position to have any sort of setback, at least not in that realm. Like, you would not see him using his arm and his body. Now, granted, it's the lazy river, but still.
You're saying it's not intense? It's lazy?
You know, if possible contaminants weren't an issue.
They don't call it the busy river?
I would be about the float on the lazy river for half of an afternoon life.
The hardworking river? It's the opposite of that. It's the lazy river.
You know, don't you? Think about it. If contaminants weren't an issue, not that I'm saying they are a great wolf lodge or something like that. You just conceptualize one that you're familiar with. You would do it, right? But you just know how lazy people can be.
That's my point. That's why I'm team beach. To go back. And also about pools, there's always a Band-Aid at the bottom of every pool that I've ever seen.
They have chlorine for that.
Yeah, but why the Band-Aid? I understand there's kids running around, but there's always Band-Aids.
Because the Band-Aids say off. They're waterproof. They say it. Yeah, they're like, hey, we're waterproof. No, you're not.
But like, I'm always like stepping in the pool and then boom, Band-Aid on my foot. I don't like that.
Maybe you should watch where you step.
I should. That's the thing. I shouldn't watch where I step at the pool.
Do you watch where you step at the beach when you're in the water?
Yeah, there's no
Do you
Band-Aid
watch where you step at your
on
house?
Sharp things, you could get stung by a jellyfish.
But
I can go on and on.
There's water. You can't really see down
Do
there.
Do you know how many times I've run into things in my house when I don't watch where I step?
Are you stepping on Band-Aids? Because I don't like that.
I mean, usually they're in the
Anti-pool.
Trash.
Anti-pool.
Wow. I think, Robbie, you are choosing to ignore the fact that if you go to the beach and you go into them waters...
Oh, I'm stepping on a lot of things.
You know, that's a lake clean. That's not salt water, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Did you think about that?
And I can see Gary, Indiana, far in the distance as well. So
that just is reflective of what the visibility is that day in the air.
He doesn't understand that. Just let him
enjoy your Band-Aids.
Let him cook with his air fryer. He doesn't know how to use a slow cooker. Let him do what he does.
Also, I have audio of Ben Johnson and or Matt Nagy. It's time for you to pick.
Let's
do it.
All right, so I'm only going to play 5 seconds because I don't want to like have the context of what they're saying spoil it. So here's number one.
Probably more than anything for me was more of even in the preseason.
That's Ben Johnson.
No.
It's not?
And here's clip number two.
No. It's tighter windows throughout.
That's Ben Johnson. You're right.
Yep, the first one's
I'm
Matt
like,
Nagy.
Immediately, that's Matt Nagy.
I guess
play him again.
Probably more than anything for me was more of even in the preseason last year.
That's number one. Here's number two.
It's tighter windows throughout, and so we emphasize different.
I was
the
wrong.
O's.
I need to hear both of them first.
The O's.
Yeah, I could.
It is
Philly
similar,
O
though.
And the North Carolina O are pretty similar.
Whoever what that texter was, you were very much right. They do sound similar.
I got to say.
And the guy in the Twitch chat earlier, but I thought he was talking about context, an actual substance of the conversation, not style.
I got to say, maybe it was my excitement about Ben Johnson that blinded me to this fact that they do sound very similar vocally, but it didn't even hit me at all. And I think part of it is healthy. I have so moved on emotionally from that Matt Nagy era. Thank you.
You said like Matt Nagy didn't go to the playoffs.
Stop it.
What happened when he got there? But he still went.
Stop it.
I mean, you got to be in it to win it.
He got a really good golden parachute, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, as a coach, I would gladly take anyone's head coaching job so that you can fire me and pay me out my golden parachute.
But, like, Matt Eberflus's golden parachute is not as good.
Is it not?
DC for Brian Schottenheimer.
But he still got paid as the rest of his head coaching contract.
Oh, yeah, that part.
That's the parachute I'm thinking of.
One of these former Bears coaches has a lot more job security when you look at it that way. That's for sure.
Andy Reid is quoted as saying today, I don't read novels, I watch plays.
What does that mean?
Game on.
What does that? Tell me what that means.
He takes no breaks, man.
I'm sorry. Football plays. Not like Streetcar Named Desire.
I thought you were talking about like a novel that got turned into a play.
Oh,
I was like,
no,
what
we're so close to training camp. How could you be thinking of any other plays, Marshall Harris? Come on.
Do the other plays even exist? The only Broadway I know is some part of some other play, like Broadway 65 Nashville Hut. That actually could be a play. It could also be just like a bar in Nashville. Let's face it.
What's going on?
Is Remember the Titans a book? That's what that made me think of. Or was it just a movie? I don't know.
Unclear.
I'll find that out by the time we come back and we to pair with this
what
beautiful
about
sound.
773, have you been bitten by a fish at the beach? This says, apparently you've never been bit by a fish at the beach.
Has anyone been bit by a fish at the beach?
I saw a horseshoe crab once. Does that count?
Yeah, that counts.
Coming up next, Shaquille O'Neal has taken on a new cause. And who he's backing and who he's coming after makes it make sense.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Next.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris. Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
All right, back on Rahimi and Harris, where, you know, it's about that time. But before we welcome in transition with Matt Spiegel, who is back. I saw him down the hall.
Don't call it a comeback.
And Lawrence Holmes. Got to address Angel Reese, who missed today's game. By the way, that was not a pretty outcome for the Sky today. They lost 86-49 without Angel Reese, who was out with a lower leg injury.
That's their lowest point total of the season.
Well, Angel Reese has been kind of the driver. They're down to like their seventh point guard or whatever.
Yeah, Ariel Atkins didn't play, I assume, because of her leg injury. I think we're going to get more of an update on that, hopefully.
Yeah, she's considered day-to-day.
Day to day.
Yeah, Reese might miss the All-Star game.
So. We're all, yeah, the All-Star game is on Saturday.
Yeah, we're all day to day.
We are. We are in some way all day to day.
But leading scorer was Rebecca Allen with 9.
They scored 49 points, Layla.
9.
Yes, it's bad.
Oh, man.
So anyway, Angel Reese deals with a lot of just hate. And Robert Griffin III has been running his mouth for a long time about things that are probably not in his particular lane. And he posted a meme from somebody else about Angel Reese, which falls under the racist trope type thing. And Uncle Shaq, who of course is close with Angel Reese. They both were at LSU. They're both Reebok athletes. He just always had a protective arm over Angel Reese, right? And so he had a message for Robert Griffin III after seeing his latest comments about the Chicago Sky Star. Listen up.
Speaking of man, RG3, tweet another monkey post about my girl Angel Reese. I'm punching your face. Okay? It's enough. Like, I don't usually do stuff like this, but just stop it, bro. You got your job. You got your podcast. Leave my Angel Reese alone. I'm the one calling her and telling her not to respond. Stop it. That's the last time. Okay? Thank you. It's not real hate. If you look around what's going on in this real country, that's hate. This is sports. I'm not supposed to like you. It's a shame that all the stuff you did in your life, you're going to be remembered for your podcast. You're going to be remembered for your podcast. That should tell you you're not that fucking great. I don't want to be remembered for Shaq's Bit podcast. I do not. Like, leave those girls alone. You already spoke on it. Let it go. So what? He hates us. So f***. I hate you now. For messing with her. Now what? Say something about me. But she's not going to respond because I'm the one calling and be like, baby, keep it classy. Because she's not soft by any means. You're from the streets. But I'm like, you're beautiful. Don't indulge with these fools because he's a fool. You don't even have G14 classification to say that. I would respect it more if Lisa Leslie said it. Like, that's y'all category. Stay out of them people's category. Mm. Okay, you're sports, whatever you do, you talk about sports, but bro, you don't need to be going deep. Y'all can go deep. Y'all are females. Y'all understand what that's like. If he hates her, so what? Mind your business. Like, I don't mind you doing your job, saying anyone, but don't pick on that little girl. Because guess what? I'm her protector. Now pick on me. You pick on me, I'm going to punch you in your face.
That's from the Off the Record podcast, and Shaq very direct with his intentions if he comes across one Robert Griffin III and continues to talk that talk. Let's see if he can walk that walk. I love Shaq. I mean, Robert Griffin III is, I'm just going to say this. My man Rob Parker called it a long time ago and was raked over the coals, but you can't tell me based on everything that's happened since Robert Griffin III was called a certain name by Rob Parker on ESPN that he has done anything to not validate the words in the description.
I think living in a vacuum is never a good idea.
Fair.
And I feel like a lot of his takes are in a vacuum. Like, you have to be self-aware. You have to be aware of who you are in spaces and aware that other people have different experiences, as Shaq just brought up. That's the very least we can do is respect that people have experiences. The very least we can do is listen. The very least we can do is understand that part of it. And I think a lot of times it does take other people, especially men who are respected in the space, to help defend women and women athletes. And I appreciate Shaq doing so. That doesn't mean they necessarily need it, but I think it does help.
It's just tough because Angel Reese is out here trying to play some basketball on a team that has suffered a lot of injuries. She lost her point guard. She lost her shooting guard. And now she can't play right this second. And she's got to deal with not just Robert Griffin III amplifying bad things on Twitter, but all the people that come with that.
Right. The people who want to be...
RG3 said it must be true.
The people who want to be there with him. Well, people, it's all a bunch of use, in my opinion. It's using of others to then use others. So good on Shaq to at least try to stop the mess.
This is that time where I tell you to call our 6 to the score contest line. Right now, caller number 6, not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4, not 5, but caller 6. Call this number, 312-540-0670, to win a pair of tickets to see Toto with special guests Christopher Cross and Men at Work. That's Saturday, August 9th at Credit Union One Amphitheater at Tinley Park. Tickets available now on livenation.com.
So be basically caller 6. Yeah, the Scott Merkin memorial concert is really what it is.
Is that what we're calling
Merck's
this?
Merck's alive.
I'm about to say.
But the memorial is how he didn't get the night of Yacht Rock that he wanted at the Sox game because of the rain. So, Merck, I don't know if you get to go based on the White Sox schedule and your own, but I'm thinking of you. Transition with Matt Spiegel, who is back, and Lawrence Holmes is next. You are listening to Raheemy and Harris on 670 The Score in the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.